Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show, brought to you by Dupree Financial Group, where we make your money work for you. Here's our host, Tom Dupree.
Yeah, that's better than powered by.
It's a matter of opinion, but
whatever that powered by action was.
But it is the Tom Dupree Show.
Yeah.
So we do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good. I like that. Nobody passed it by me before you started using it. It just kind of came out. But I guess it's better that way. Cut through the bureaucracy. All right. Let's not forget our psalm. King James Version. That, by the way, Booker T and the MGs. This one, everybody knows Green Onions. This one's called Time is Tight. You remember this song? I do. Psalm 53, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, as they have not called upon God? There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. This is probably one of the most politically incorrect psalms I could read today. Talking about Israel and Zion, you know, and the left hates them right now. And so therefore, because it's so politically incorrect, I'm glad to read it. So you can't get away from this UK basketball stuff right now. A good friend of mine in Indiana, who was an old IU fan, just sent me a text. If UK is the holy land of college basketball, and if Rupp Arena is the principal cathedral of college hoops, is it more than appropriate that UK's next coach is a pope? I actually think that's kind of funny. I don't see you laughing. What's your problem?
I'm desensitized to your humor.
You're paid to laugh. You know.
Well, then that should be free.
All right. So, you know, I have had an opinion on this stuff, and this is not a sports show per se, and we're not going to turn it into one. But the UK basketball thing really affects all of us that live in Fayette County. It affects us in a way that's more than sports. And I'm going to tell you, I am 110% behind this hiring of Mark Pope as the new coach. And I look at Facebook, and the people that have commented negatively about this, in general, I'm not going to say anything other than these are very uninformed-looking people. We've been subject to an onslaught of pure salesmanship for as long as we can remember. Sort of an oily, kind of slimy salesmanship. And there's a prototype of some of these college coaches. With some of them, it's kind of jock. With others, it's salesman. And we saw people pushing for other salesman types to be brought in because they're so used to this prototype that they think that that's good. It's like the Stockholm Syndrome. They fall in love with their captors. This is a guy that really goes against those stereotypes. He's a big guy. I'm a big guy. I get it. I like it. Big guys are not well understood. Oftentimes they're thought of as being kind of, I don't know. They get looked, believe it or not, down upon because they're big guys. And he played, for God's sake, how somebody can undermine this choice, he played on the UK 1996 national championship team. But it's almost like the fan base has fallen in love with the Calipari narrative. They're not interested in bringing in local kids. They want the five-star recruit. Let me tell you something about these five-star recruits. Just an observation. They're soft. They're motivated. Self-motivated. They're not gritty, tough players. And it's being proven over and over again when you look at who wins the national championships and who actually gets there. So I am 110% behind this. I am not a fan of Mitch Barnhart. This probably won't make me be, but I got to give it to him on this choice. And everybody said, I'm seeing that people say, oh, this reeks of desperation. Guess what? We don't have the gold standard franchise like we used to. People say, well, you know, we're Kentucky. So what? That and $6 will get you a latte at Starbucks. It is past. People can't see that. They still think it's old-timey UK. Now, you know, there are going to be some folks that are angry that John Calipari left. I think some of your elite types been paying $100,000 a year for tickets for a long time, got to know the coach. They're sorry to see their friend go. I get it. We're all human. But the message, you know, when this guy's having Barack Obama and his brother-in-law on his podcast, and people said, well, you know, this isn't about politics.
You're talking about Calipari.
Yeah. This isn't about politics. It's about wins and losses. Okay, then why are you having a politician on your podcast? Now, he's had other people on there too, but, you know, this is just, to me, as a conservative who wants fiscal soundness, smart ways of doing things in my city, and that means you don't go out and pay some stupid price for a snake oil salesman coach just so you can have that name and feel good about yourself. I like buying things that are on sale, where you pick up a bargain. And in this case, this guy is, I love it. I love everything about it. It could almost make me go from not a fan of Barnhart to somewhat neutral. And predictably, some of the people out there that are the loudest hate this. They don't think it's a good idea. They wanted Billy Donovan or somebody. Billy Donovan's a has-been. His people can't understand. It's over with. He's on the downhill slope. I want somebody who's hungry and young. And this is kind of how we invest also. And I'm not going to get into that right yet, but I'm out in Phoenix right now because my son lives out here. Both of them do. And I'm investing in their generation, in what they are going to be able to produce. And, you know, I'm in over my head. And that's good. Because I don't know what, you know, comes next. The best thing I can do is keep my eyes and ears open, you know, to what's being said around me, what's going on, what people are looking for. When I start thinking I know what needs to come next, and I'm not observant and not listening, that's where I get in trouble.
I think one of the things about this Mark Pope hire, there are a lot of different things that are baffling, is it came out of nowhere.
No, it didn't.
Well,
I totally disagree with that, but go ahead. They've known him for, he's
Tom,
on the radar.
That's not what I was talking about. What I was talking about
to the
was
fan base.
The fan base.
Yeah,
it caught everybody by surprise.
Well, okay.
It was the only name that was thrown out there that one had, that he played for Kentucky, which usually in the past the fan base would have absolutely loved that.
I think they're on drugs, bad drugs.
I think the biggest thing was it caught them by surprise.
Good. They needed it.
Because the people that were in the conversation, and then the other thing that kind of cast a pall on the whole thing was how many coaches they went after that turned the job down.
I'd turn it down.
Well, I didn't say they were wrong for turning it down.
Yeah.
But they turned it down. Multiple
That's right.
coaches. Five or six, I think it was. That's just a
I want to know
guess.
If you were involved behind the scenes doing something that I didn't know about.
Wouldn't be the first time. but I, as an objective fan, when we...
Objective?
Okay. When we heard the news, I was shocked. And you immediately said, this is great. I love it. Then
I wanted to see something out of the box.
Right. I started looking at Mark Pope's bio, where he had coached.
Yeah, you were down on it.
Well, I'm still not. I mean,
he won games at a football school. BYU, they are not a basketball type school. I mean, he was having to compete.
Okay.
He's going to have more resources here.
But he's also got a huge rebuilding project.
You
and
think?
He also, his recruiting prowess. Well, remains to be seen. He
you
may have a completely different approach, which works.
He's not the slick salesman that Calipari. Do you think Calipari was really getting these people into the NBA? They didn't need Kentucky to get to the NBA, but he made it sound like it. You know, give them 1 year here, and then they're off to the NBA. Calipari works for the NBA more than he does Kentucky, and everybody's known it for a long time, and he as much as says that. And he got away with it for longer than he should have. And I put that on Mitch Barnhart.
So I'm curious about when Danny Hurley got the job at UConn. He wasn't a well-known name. He came from a sports family.
That's because they're smart about how they do things, and they don't have as big a budget up there.
I understand. What I'm saying is that Mark Pope may be the same kind of guy
That's
where
what
he
I'm
comes
saying.
In.
That's what I've been saying.
But his record to this point does not seem as if it has him prepared for this
He's
job.
He's 110 and 52 or something like that. That's about how Calipari was doing. Calipari was winning about every two-thirds of the games. He's losing 10 games a season. I mean, you know, you got to look at recent performance. I do not think Cal will last more than 2 years at Arkansas. I think they'll sniff it out quicker than we did. And, you know, he'll be done there too. They're not going to put up with this any more than people here. It was at the end. That's not to say John Calipari didn't do a lot of really good things when he was here. He did. I don't think he's a bad guy. But you got to look at recent performance. Lisbeth, you know, we're in the securities business. We start screwing up really regularly. We'll keep a few customers, but we'll lose most of them. You have to be fresh. You have to come up with new ideas. You have to keep reinventing yourself. And when you get on a coast that's just the same thing over and over and over again, you're ready to be dead meat. You're ready to go off the market.
Well, I thought we were talking about Mark Pope and that hire. The Calipari's,
that's what I was saying. Right,
but Calipari's gone. He and most likely overstayed his welcome, which led to the...
Which is sad.
Which led to the whole issue. But it remains to be seen whether Mark Pope can be a recruiter, whether Mark Pope can handle the Kentucky spotlight. And he seems like a cool head
and a calm hand. Because the expectations are low. That's what we needed. We needed to set the expectations low for this next deal. Not if you bring in Billy Donovan or Bruce Pearl or, God, thank God it's not that guy, or some of these type people, then the expectations are going to be high. They're all like their little meth addicts that they are, the UK fan base, waiting to get their next high. You know, this guy is going to be better long term. He will be better long term, and I think he'll be here a lot of years. I think Mitch nailed it on this, and Mitch might have fallen into it, here's what I think. I think he went after those other guys knowing they were going to say no. And then
after Danny Hurley twice. He said got a no right after the championship or right whenever. And then he went back after Pope.
We don't know that. But
it's pretty well documented.
Sometimes you have to be willing. You know, this could endear me to Mitch Barnhart if he was willing to look like a fool. You know, I got who looks more like a fool than I do? Saying stuff that I say. I've been willing to look like a fool at times. But you know, if you're going to invest and do this job properly, you have to be willing to ask stupid questions. So you go back after Hurley twice. Okay, fine. You ask him again. And the answer is still the same. Okay, great. You checked all the boxes, and now you went to the guy that maybe in your heart of hearts know is best for the program, but you couldn't do that because your fan base wouldn't let you do it. But see, I think the other thing about it is that Mitch pretends to be loyal to the fan base, but what he's really loyal to is the money, which isn't provided by 99% of the fan base. It's a select few. You know, he's like your finance. If you're paying $100,000 a year into the program, hey, you got Mitch's phone number on your speed dial. He's your financial advisor. He's your broker. Somebody like me, who doesn't even have tickets anymore, I'm just some guy out there. He doesn't, you know. Why would he care about what I thought? And that's perfect. I don't want him to really care about what I think. I'm just talking to my people that, you know, listen to this show. Guy that's watched the game here for 55 plus years, I have an opinion, but that's all it is an opinion.
What I want to know is what Scott Drew's family that flew to Lexington to take a look, what it was.
It was cold.
It probably was gray.
And it was raining.
Was it?
Yeah. It was raining like crazy.
Well, they passed.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show, brought to you by Dupree Financial Group, where we make your money work for you. If you'd like to come see us at Dupree Financial Group. Give us a call, 859-233-0400. You can also go to our website and schedule an appointment directly on the homepage. Come see us. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of the Tom Dupree Show. Stay tuned.
This is Tom Dupree at Dupree Financial Group. We believe proper management of retirement assets is a long-term process. If you've been listening, we've been advertising for over 20 years. We know that choosing an advisor can take a long time to decide, and it's a long-term engagement when you do decide. Our accountability must also be up to the nature of the job, and with 46 years in the investment business, we're used to being accountable. For more information on how we manage retirement assets, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to our website at dupreefinancial.com. Also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show at News Radio 630 WLAP or on your favorite podcast platform.
There you go.
Yep.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show, brought to you by Dupree Financial Group, where we make your money work for you. Here's our host, Tom Dupree.
So this song is apropos to the UK fan breakup with John Calipari. Set me free, why don't you, babe? Get out of my life, why don't you? It's the same thing. It's exactly. So why am I on this? Because is it because I don't have anything better to talk about? No, that's not it. It's because what I've seen in the last several years is people in my hometown of Lexington, Kentucky, you know, sort of have become a bunch of automatons.
What a word.
Well, it's like a robot. It's something that does what is told to them. We have this little view of our community. Oh, we're such a wonderful place to live. And we've got all the great things. We've got horses, we've got whiskey, and we've got basketball. And this is a myth that is promulgated by city leaders and, you know, people that promote Lexington. And I love Lexington. I live there. I don't know why. I mean, I'm out in Arizona right now, but I'm not sure quite why.
And we are pre-recording this.
Yeah,
too.
would want to live here year round. And that's nothing against this place, but the point that I'm making is we have to understand that any wonderful thing about a place, you have to hold on to it loosely, and you have to keep going back and earning it year in, year out. And there are people who just have this view of it's so centered on just the little narrow world of Fayette County, and they can't see outside of it. You look at kids who grow up there who find that it's such a constricted environment that they have to move away in order to really realize their dreams. And that's, in some ways, Kentucky as a whole. Not all parts of Kentucky. You see parts of Kentucky that are actually growing now, like Bowling Green and Northern Kentucky. Parts of Northern Kentucky are really doing interesting things. But Lexington just seems stuck. And this whole performance by the quote, fans over this last little bit has been just unbelievably repulsive to me in many ways. And it's as if they're saying, give us another salesman to make us feel like we're really with it. We don't want just some jock, you know, that's just going to coach basketball. We want some guy that's going to make us feel like we're sort of a Hollywood.
And actually, I told you that Mark Pope went to 2 years of medical school before he realized that he wanted to be back in coaching or in coaching. So he's a smart fella.
He'll be able to handle this because it's what it is. It's a lot of people who don't have enough other things going on in their lives to feel like that this is something that really gives them meaning. And that's the sad part of it for me. Is that this is that important to people, that their little world is so constricted that this is just what it's about. Now, given that, the flip side of it is I do love the passion. I do love the care for the program. I do love the pride. I love it, but you have to, it can't be the only thing that informs you. You live in a city that basically is slowly taking away property rights of landowners. It's anti-business environment. There wouldn't be a place to put a new business if it came in. So what's happened is that the University of Kentucky is now front and center because it's part of the problem. It's government, basically. You look at UK, don't think business, think government. Think top-down solutions. We will tell you what's best for you. But this is a situation where they actually stepped aside from doing what would have appeared to be the prescribed way to do things, the money way to do things, and they said, okay, outsiders, look at this situation with the fans and Kentucky and all of that and realize it's crazy. A big guy with a big ego and a lot of they're not going to get in the middle of this. They don't want the humiliation that might have to go along with it for a while. The choice that they made, I think, is a good thing. I really think in many ways it's healthy. And I've been looking for something that seemed to be a sign of health coming from the University of Kentucky, our local government, for a long time, and this is it, sort of, for me.
I'm still on the fence, and you know that. And it's not that I wanted Hollywood. It's not that I wanted a salesman.
I'm not after your approval. I could care less about whether you approve of what. I mean, it's not that I don't care, but it's that I'm not trying, you know, I could care less about whether you approve of. Fact is, in a sense, it proves my point a little bit. That the fact that you're on the fence is okay. That's what he's going to get. That's going to be the attitude of a lot of people.
I want.
You wanted a hustler. You wanted somebody to make you feel like, you know, oh, wow.
No, I wanted somebody with a track record that where he'd won some NCAA games.
Track record's going to cost you.
I don't care about, you know, the cost. He's got a rebuilding
process.
You're
not going to get a guy with a recent track record. You go look at stocks out there. Something that's got AI in the name right now. It's trading for 60 times earnings. It'll take you 40 years to get that back in terms of earnings. You're going to pay up. I think Barnhart acted like a value investor here, which is, I cannot fault that.
Well, he already saved $33 million by waiting a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's not to be sneezed at. And these five-star recruits, take them. Let's get guys that like to play basketball. You think that big kid for UConn, the big center, you think he was a five-star recruit? He could have been, but I never heard of him. Of course, how would I know? I don't follow this stuff.
No, I think that the one that probably was underestimated was the Burns kid from North Carolina State, who could probably play five different sports. But anyway, we digress from the topic.
You did. I didn't get onto that.
Went down the rabbit hole.
All right.
Down
the rabbit trail. But so the thing that I would simply say here is people in Lexington need to think more outside the box. I'm not saying they don't, never do, that they don't travel. Of course they do. They go places. But don't act like a clan when you come back home. Don't act like you're just part of a little group. Think in terms of there being a big world out there, lots of different possibilities. And
I think Mark,
we need to incorporate some of that into our local government, how things are done, because we could be a lot better and more innovative than we, and you're always better off doing something that not everybody else is saying to do. Be a little bit more humble about your approach to things. That's all I got to say.
And all I've got to say is Mark Pope has some work to do. He's got to show us what he's got and win the fan base over, which to me is such a strange thing because the fan base has always been so pro former players because they're
that's
already
where
sort of in the club.
Flipped.
That's
it's, like
that, it's very strange.
They've been sold a bill of goods for so long. that they've gotten used to it.
Well, and the other thing is with these one and dones, you never get a chance to get to know the kids.
Don't get, I mean,
barely even their names.
When I was talking about Calipari taking the knee, you know, 3 years ago, the players that they were quoting that said, we asked him to do it with us, I'd never heard of any of them. I don't remember any of them. It's like the last several years are just a blank. It's as if we've done nothing since 2012.
But yet, do you know,
it's a blank.
Do you know one player that pops into mind as being different is Reed Shepherd, because he's a hometown Kentucky boy.
There's people that have been in there that were, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe. Now, that's a guy that is just a remarkable human being.
But he sort of defied the stereotype.
Yeah, he did. And Calipari, I don't think, liked him talking about God and that kind of thing all the time and was ready to get rid of him. He pushed him out the door. Oscar would have stayed.
Well, he was making all sorts of NIL money. There was no reason for him to move on.
He moved.
Except to have been encouraged.
He, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm so glad that we're moving on to the next thing.
It definitely is a new chapter and a different look. The other look had ceased to work, and the NBA thing doesn't work.
I don't even think it's that great of a level of basketball in some ways. Now, Larry Bird disagrees. He thinks that you got players in the NBA that I love to watch. Luka Doncic, the big guy for the Nuggets. Devin Booker's become a real good player with the Suns. And they're out there. But it's not – there's no spirit in it. It's just playing basketball for money. You know, even when I started watching the NBA as a child, you know, I'd watch the Boston Celtics, John Havlicek, people like that. Later on in the 80s, you know, you watch the Lakers, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy. When I lived in Houston, I used to go watch the Rockets play the Lakers live. You know, James Worthy. I mean, you know, Coop, Michael Cooper in the backcourt. The Rockets had Akeem and those players. Which brings me, how much time have I got?
Plenty.
Okay. O.J. Simpson died this week.
Of prostate cancer.
Yeah.
What a sad story.
And it is, but as a little boy, well, I wasn't that little. You know, I was 10 or 12. I remember watching him at USC, and what an artful dodger he was. In his, go on one of the platforms and just look up O.J. Simpson highlight reel. Most of what you'll see is him with the Buffalo Bills. He scored, or he got over 2,000 yards rushing in a 14-game season where the Bills, of course, did nothing, didn't even get to the playoffs. He was a true journeyman. And this is a guy, he was born in San Francisco. He's a California guy. He wasn't used to playing in the snow and the mud. And he goes to Buffalo, it is so painful. And people have been making these jokes about he died. Now we'll know who committed the murder. Okay, that's funny once. But OJ was my hero. I loved him. And I loved watching him play football. And I became a fan of USC because of O.J. Simpson. And I am so sorry that his life, you know,
Was it, he had a drug problem, correct?
No, he killed his...
I know that, but drugs make you do crazy things.
No, I think he did have addiction. Well, I never heard anything about
that. I think he did have addiction issues.
That I never heard about.
I think so.
I think you're wrong. But anyway, the point is, O.J. Simpson was just a guy that could never admit that he had done something wrong. He never could repent, it appeared, of his sins. If you can't repent, you can't ever move beyond who you are. You can't turn. And that's the sad part of it. So, anyway, I will miss those days. I still do. That's why I play music from them all the time. But I'm happy for Kentucky. I'm really happy. And I believe Mark Pope is going to be excellent. I feel so good. You know, I have felt bad, and I didn't realize it. I have felt bad about the basketball program for years. I never bought – I let my tickets go over 10 years ago. I did not buy into the Calipari BS. Never did. Not knocking the guy as a person, not saying he's a bad guy. I just didn't buy into the sales pitch because that's really what it was. And
I'm really hopeful that the fan base will support
Pope. I don't give
Pope.
A rat's
I'm
you know
about,
what about the fan base.
I hope
they desert him. I hope he shows them wrong. The fan base is fickle. I was at a game in 1970 where the whole Memorial Coliseum booed the first black players ever to take the floor for Coach Adolph Rupp that were walk-ons. I was at that game. A lot of people deny it happened. I know what they are. They're ass-backwards rednecks, really, when you get right down to it. That's our fan base. And you know what? I'm proud to be one of them at times. But I saw racism in a way that you wouldn't believe. You know what racism is? Nice people in the South would never be mean to black people. Who does it? Poor white trash. And that's what a lot of this fan base is. Come up in the world a little bit. Figure some stuff out. You know, act like you're some big UK supporter. How much money have you given to the university? You know, what have you done to really support it? A lot more to it than just, you know, cheering for the Cats.
Oh, my goodness. All right. You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show, brought to you by Dupree Financial Group, where we make your money work for you. If you'd like to hear more of the Tom Dupree Show, go to our website, DupreeFinancial.com, and click on the radio tab. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Financial Hour. Stay tuned.